I'm Kate Remington, and today I'm talking with Jim Sinclair. He's the music director of Orchestra New England. In fact, he's been the music director for the last 40 years of Orchestra New England, and they're celebrating with a birthday bash at 8 o'clock on Saturday, March 8th at Battelle Chapel in New Haven. And Jim, first, welcome, and congratulations. 40 years, that's a real landmark.
Well, hi, Kate. It's a pleasure to be here at this great station. Yes, it's a landmark. I really hadn't contemplated what longevity is behind me here, and that the odd thing that occurs is not that we've arrived at 40, it's that we're four-fifths the way to 50, and that just blows my mind completely. But it's very exciting to do the 40th, and we've accomplished over 750 concerts, and it's a very high average for each year. Probably sets records. In fact, we may have done more concerts than anyone other than the Boston Symphony.
That is remarkable.
In New England.
And you've performed in so many different places, over 60 towns in Connecticut, cities and towns,
right.
Performed in 9 states. I had national broadcasts.
All over New England and on into New York State, upper and lower, and down into Jersey and down to Washington, D.C. But hasn't been primarily a touring orchestra. It's been based in Southern Connecticut and done a lot of concerts in Connecticut.
Well, one of the really special things about this 40th birthday bash is that you're bringing the music of Charles Ives to New Haven. And I was surprised to learn that you haven't done that for a long, long time.
No, we've done concerts of all Ives out of town. But the founding of the orchestra, its purpose to exist in 1974 was because Ives' centenary had arrived. Ives was born in October 1874 in Danbury and then came to New Haven for Yale 20 years later in 1894. So he's a big part of New Haven, and we celebrated his centenary big time. The orchestra's first concert was 15 world premieres of works by Charles Ives, all things that I had been editing in the prior 2 years on coming to New Haven to work with John Kirkpatrick, the great pianist and musicologist of Charles Ives's music. And it was a smashing affair, so remarkable. The house was full. Ives fans and the curious were there, and so was a Yaley alum, producer and head of CBS Records. And he came to the concert, and by intermission, he had decided that he was going to record this concert. Came on stage and said, "I'd like to record this concert." And we were flummoxed. We were all students. We were all doing this for the mere love of it. It was called the Yale Theater Orchestra, a kind of ad hoc name. Mm-hmm. And we were absolutely floored. Well, all kinds of politics and fur flew at Yale because we weren't an established group headed by a faculty person. I was on staff. So it had to work itself through. But 2 weeks later, we made this extraordinary recording for CBS, and it was a buzz. We were riding a giant wave and didn't even know how to assess the future of it all. What came of it was another Ives concert, and then we decided we needed to play other music together because we loved working together. That led to the Chamber Orchestra of New England appearing a year later. And then 10 years later, we called it Orchestra New England.
Well, as you said, it's primarily associated with Charles Ives and your collection of Ives, but you've performed so much other music in the 40 years, really spanning centuries from the Baroque all the way up to other modern composers.
Yes, we've done some 55 premieres, including the Ives that we did early on, and featuring one of our musicians in Orchestra New England, the personnel manager and string bass player, fine composer. And we've done 10 of pieces of Joe Russo. We recently premiered the 10th work of William Ryden that we have done. You champion every orchestra needs to champion certain composers. We have our family. We also have done a wide range of contemporary music.
Well, I'm really curious about how you finally settled on the list of pieces that you chose for the concert at Battelle Chapel out of the hundreds and hundreds of pieces by Ives.
The ones that are coming up pay some homage to that very first concert when there were 15 premieres. We'll do six of them. And we'll open with the very same piece that that concert opened with. So all these 40 years later, it's the same opening number, a nifty little march by Charles Ives written in his Yale years. And other works from that very first concert. And then other things later, some of which we've never played, others which we've played often, such as the Third Symphony, mm-hmm. the Pulitzer Prize-winning work by Charles Ives. That will anchor the concert. Mm-hmm. And the final, if I can say in parentheses, encore of the concert will be what was perhaps you'd say the hit single of our first album back in 1974, The Country Band March, an absolutely smashing work of Charles Ives, full of beans and excitement and great Americana.
Well, that's the great thing about Ives's music is he was just so democratic and he didn't have any pretensions, no prejudices about what kind of music he wanted to incorporate in his own pieces. So your banjo right. tunes and hymns.
His music was as open and collective as his politics, which were very egalitarian, and it's an interesting man who made a fortune on the insurance business by redefining insurance at a time when it was quite corrupt. He cleaned up the business and also cleaned up the profits because his dependable, honest insurance was so much more valuable than anyone else's. It became the largest insurance company in the United States under Ives, and his music was just on the side, but they actually share a great deal in philosophy.
Well, and what's so interesting about his music, too, is that he takes a concept like a fugue and really puts his own spin on it. It owes a lot to Bach, obviously, but what turns out just could only be by Ives. It's just so quirky and interesting.
We're doing two fugues back-to-back, just for contrast, the first being a fugue he wrote at Yale for a religious service based on several hymn tunes, and it got incorporated into the Fourth Symphony, so it's well-known, well-loved, beautiful, beautiful work. Following that, an equally beautiful but quite different treatment where the fugue, instead of sticking to one key, actually each voice that enters in the fugue is in its new key. And therefore, it adds up you could think of it as dissonance, but it isn't. It's kind of a shimmer. It's a beautiful sound and more exciting. So We'll get a little bit of both there.
Well, one of the other fun things about this 40th birthday bash is a tour of Ives' New Haven. And I'm just curious, what were some of his favorite places in New Haven?
Well, we'll see the places that he lived and worked. And then some of them have been torn down. We'll see locations where he played. Ives was fond of everything about New Haven. His social experience at Yale was fantastic. His academic experience was disastrous. Didn't seem to need it to make his fortune in the business world, nor to invent some of the greatest music of the 20th century. But his room at Yale was Connecticut Hall, the oldest standing structure, brick structure in New Haven. The oldest building standing of Yale. So it's easy enough to see his corner of the building there, which was just kitty corner from a stone's throw from where 10 years later Cole Porter was looking out windows right toward Ives's windows. And Center Church, where he worked as an organist, is the middle of the green. And the location of Hyperion Theater, where musicians were so willing to play over his music and experiment with him. The locations of the DKE Fraternity House and the current location of Wolf's Head Secret Society. Well, we'll see a bunch of things.
I think that gives such a three-dimensional – it really brings composers to life, I think, when you get to see the places where they lived and worked. And
yeah. Everything was proximal. He could turn one direction or the opposite direction out of his room – door, and he would either be at his church or at the theater. It was a great location.
Yeah. Well, I'm so curious about in the 40 years that the orchestra has been around, what you've learned over the years about like what not to do on a program or things that have worked especially well that you're really proud of.
Well, it seems like all of our programs have been different and all worked, but I enjoy entertaining audiences, and I feel that in a way, with the right words from the podium, an audience can understand the connections and the whys and how to listen to any music. And I've never had anyone object to something I programmed because I think I convinced them before we play it and then by playing it that it's worthwhile and it was good.
Well, it sounds like it's really going to be a wonderful occasion, and we'll look forward to the next 40 years of Orchestra New England. And Jim, thanks so much for coming in and talking.
Thank you. Just cut me 10 years and I think I can handle it. Thanks, Kate.